It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Let's read verse 29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Now he's saying, okay, you people want to talk about resurrection? You are confused about this marriage thing, but in heaven there is no marriage and nobody will give in marriage. You are not producing children. Some people even say in heaven we will have our more children and more families and we will producing and things like that. It's not going to happen because Jesus Christ says we will be like an angel. Angels do not reproduce, so we will not reproducing there. We will be just like a brothers and sisters in heaven. And then he said, now you want to know about resurrection? Let me tell you. Our God is not a God of dead people. Then he said, did you hear what the God said to Moses? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Now, why God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because they are not dead. They are still alive. That's what he's trying to say. They are still alive. And so he says, our God is not the God of dead people. He's the God of living people, alive people. Indirectly, he's saying, those seven men who died, we don't know they were Christian. We don't know they are religious. We don't know they were God-fearing. So their story doesn't match here. They are going to go to hell if they are not Christian, if they are not born again. Their story doesn't match because the God only concerned about the people who are living or alive. Jesus Christ, what he says, I am the resurrection and what? I am the life. And what did he say? If somebody believes in me, he will never die. And if somebody died believing in me, he will be resurrected. That means if Jesus comes today, we don't have to die. We will be transformed. So that's why Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So we got an eternal life. So he was trying to say, those seven people and that lady, do you know they had the eternal life? They were saved, they were born again, they were children of God, they live for Christ, or they live for God? No. So that question is nothing. Now, let's go to the book of Exodus, where Jesus Christ gave them the answer. I just wanted to give you the scripture. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
Now here he's saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Moses was not satisfied with that answer. So let's read a little bit further. Verse 13 and 14.
And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Now here somebody says, I never heard the name I am. But what God was saying, I am ever living God, means I am always present. God was not before and then he came, or he was never there. He says, I am always there. And so in short, he's trying to say, when you go there, I'll be with you. Wherever you go, I am. And whatever your needs is, that I am. And so when Jesus Christ starts saying, when he came into this world, I am. Let's go to the St. John chapter 8, verse 23.
And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Verse 28.
Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
Okay, when you say, I am He, who is talking about? He's trying to say what the God said to Moses, I am. That means he is trying to say when God was speaking, actually that was Jesus speaking. Because Jesus is the Word of God. In the Old Testament people, they did not know what kind of spirit they have. But the Peter says they had the Spirit of Christ because Christ was dwelling in them. Christ was leading them. Christ was the one doing. Jesus Christ says, our God is the Spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is Spirit. And so Jesus Christ was the Word of God. So he says, then you will know I am He. Okay, read verse 54 to 58, same chapter.
Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad.
Now here see, Jesus Christ is saying, Abraham saw me, and he was glad. And these people are thinking, Jesus Christ here, he's not even 50 years old. How can he say, Abraham saw him?
Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Before Abraham was, I am. So that's what he's saying, I am that I am. That was Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you don't know me now, but you will know then. Okay, so let's go back to the book of Matthew and start reading from verse 33.
And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine.
Now, what he was saying, he gave the example, he gave the answer to these people about the resurrection. And he says, our God is God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Our God is not for the God for the dead people. Our God is for people who are alive and going to be eternally alive. Okay, those people really like the answer. Who like the answer? The Pharisees like the answer. Sadducees do not believe in resurrection, but the Pharisees, they do. And so they thought Sadducees did not do the right job. So now we are going to make him more miserable and ask questions. Let's go back to the you are in Matthew, chapter 22, verse 34.
But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together.
Now see, they say, hey, Sadducees could not stop Jesus, and their mouth is shut. Now we have to do something. Okay, verse 35.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him into saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
First commandment and the second commandment. The first commandment, he says, he took these commandments from the Old Testament. I want to read that and match with this, what Jesus Christ said. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
See, this is exactly Jesus Christ explained to them. That means Jesus knew the Bible scripture very well. And so he gave exactly the scripture. And that scripture doesn't say it's the first and great, but he said this is the first and great commandment. Then he said another one, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Jesus Christ said the second one, just like this, first you have to love the Lord, and the second, you love your neighbor. And once these two commandments Christian people start doing it, there will be no fighting, no stealing, nothing. And that's why he says, these are two commandments. Let's read the verse 40. Matthew 22, 40.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
He says, on these two commandments, all the prophets and all the law, prophet cannot say anything different. The law doesn't say anything different. If these two commandments, anybody obeyed, then they are going to fulfill the God's law. That's what he is trying to say. Okay, verse 41.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David."
Now, up to now, Jesus answered all their questions. Now he says, "Let me ask you one question." And then he says, "What you think about Christ? Whose son is this?" This is very easy. He is the son of David. How did they figure it out? Because even the blind man used to say, "Hey, son of David, have mercy on me." Even the blind man or anybody knew that Jesus Christ is called the son of David. Even the Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, he says what?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Okay, son of David and son of Abraham. So the Jesus Christ is the son of David, and he's going to be king, and son of Abraham, and through Abraham, all Gentiles and whole world was going to be blessed. So when Jesus Christ comes in Abraham's son, then we get blessed. So they say, "Oh, he's the son of David." Then Jesus asked him another question. Matthew chapter 22, verse 43.
He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool."
Now he's saying, how come David say in the spirit? That means he say, David did not say his own. God's spirit inspired him to say what he wrote in the book of Psalm 110, verse 1. Please read that. Psalm 110, verse 1.
The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Now Jesus took this psalm, David wrote it. So he said, if the David's son is the Messiah, then how come David, by the inspiration of the God's Spirit, he's saying, my Lord. And so he's saying, how can David says to his son, my Lord? And they had no answer. If you read verse 4, same chapter, because Jesus just only gave one scripture, but I want to give another scripture too. Verse 4.
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, Jesus Christ, not only Messiah, not only king, but he's a priest. And he says he will be priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so we are not learning about that today, but Melchizedek came and blessed Abraham and gave him juice, grape juice, and bread. And he blessed them, and Abraham was thinking, who is this guy? And he might have checked everyone, but they could not find his genealogy. So that's the type of Messiah or type of Christ. And so Jesus Christ's priesthood will be everlasting priesthood. We will be learning later on. Because right now, all these people are looking to build a temple and looking for high priest and looking for priest and all of these things. But their priesthood is already gone. Jesus Christ will be the high priest. Jesus didn't get into this scripture. He just said, how come he said Lord? But we know Jesus Christ is not only Lord, he is not only Savior, he is not only King, he is not only prophet, but he is also a priest. So Jesus Christ came as a prophet, and now he is coming as a king, but presently he is the high priest in heaven. We have a high hope that we are going to be in his kingdom. We are invited, just like these people were invited. We are invited, we have the garments, we are his bride, and we are going to be in that kingdom. And not only that, we will be with him, kings and priests forever. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew and finish these two verses. Verse 45 and 46.
If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions.
He answered all the questions, and he shut their mouth, and nobody asked him any more questions. Because the word of God said Jesus Christ was preaching with the power and authority. and nobody preached like him. And so he is the eternal God, took a form of man to rescue you and me. Book of Matthew, chapter 23, starting from verse 1.
Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues.
Okay, now, Jesus Christ, if you remember last week, gave so many parables, and shut their mouth, and they did not have any answers. Now, this chapter, if you have a red letter edition, you will see everything is Jesus talking. Nobody's asking questions and nobody's arguing back to him. Now here says he was talking to multitudes of people, including his disciples. And now what he's trying to say, Pharisees, he says they are sitting on the seat of Moses. That means they are thinking whatever the Moses gave the commandment, we are exactly doing what the Moses said. And they're pretending that they are the one who can tell these people what to do, what not to do. But the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, they're telling you to do something. So what you do, observe what they're doing. If they're doing something wrong, don't do. If they're saying something good, you do. There is a saying, somebody says, do what I say, but don't do what I do. That means sometimes they do something wrong thing, like a father smoking and drinking, and he gives the teaching to his son, don't do what I do. I smoke, I drink, don't do, but do what I say. That kind of teaching is very difficult to people to understand or people to follow. But Jesus Christ is saying, don't look at them, because they are the one putting the heavy load on people, but they don't do anything, even touching their fingers. He describes them how their behavior is. Read verse 5 and 6 again.
But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments.
So their motive is, let the people say good about them. They don't care about God. They don't care about the word of God. They don't care to please in God. They want to please men. St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, please read. He says, if I try to please men, I won't be a servant of God.
For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
So we are not here to pleasing people. We supposed to please God. And if you start pleasing people, we will be in great trouble. Not a single person will be able to please everyone. Verse 6, Matthew 23:6.
And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren.
Here they saying, if they are invited for supper, they want the best place. They in the synagogue, they want the cheap place. And when they go in the marketplace, they want somebody to greet them and call them Rabbi, Rabbi. That means they always want somebody to please them or uplift them. Sometimes, I don't know if you saw it or not, some people, even though they're going quietly and they're going far away and they are not paying attention purposely, hey, hello, how are you? They just want somebody to pay attention to them, even though they are minding their own business. And sometimes, some people do not want to see somebody. If they owe money to somebody, they when there is no rain, they will hold umbrella. They don't want somebody to see their face. But here this says people, they're saying they want people to give them respect. And he says Rabbi means teacher. So they are teaching wrong things. And if somebody listen to their teaching, they will be in trouble, but they want to call themselves teacher or rabbi. The Word of God says there is only one teacher, and that teacher is Christ. And St. Paul says, many of you want to be a teacher. Don't be a teacher, because if you are a teacher, you have a great responsibility. When you are a teacher, teach the right thing. Otherwise, don't be a teacher. And so he says, we should be all brethren. That means sometimes people think they know much more than somebody else, and they want other people to listen. So here he's saying, our master, our teacher is Jesus. We are all equal in the sight of God. Verse 9.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven.
Now here we see, even the commandment is given, don't call anyone on earth father. Even in India and some other countries, they don't call their father father. They don't say, hey father. They say something else. They say, whatever the mother calls husband, that's the way the children will call. But the point I'm making specifically says, don't call on earth anyone father. But we know Roman Catholic people, they like to be called fathers. Exactly what Bible says don't do, exactly they're doing it. Okay, verse 10.
Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ.
Now again, here it says teacher, rabbi, and master is the same as teacher. So again he says, your teacher is Christ. So don't call anybody teacher, anybody master, anybody rabbi. Jesus is our teacher, Jesus is our master, and he is our rabbi. Verse 11.
But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
St. John chapter 13 gave a very good example. He says, if somebody wants to be great, be a servant. And you remember what he did. He took the towel and wrapped around him and washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, this is what example I gave it to you, and you do to others. That means he was showing how humble he is. But when you're starting that scripture, he says, I came from heaven, I'm going to go to heaven, and all things belong to me. That means he says, all things belong to me, I came from heaven, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm humbling myself to wash your feet. No one would do like that. The king will never wash feet of his servant. But Jesus Christ was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came from heaven and washed the feet of his disciples. And that's the greatest example he gave it to us. Verse 12.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
If anyone try to exalt himself, he will go down. We know the example of Lucifer. He got so much pride, and he wanted to be above God, but today he's going to go to hell. So that's what the Word of God is saying. We cannot exalt ourselves. Only thing we can exalt, God. Even though if you have pride about something, be proud about God. If some miracle God is doing through you, give glory to God. Because of God, we are doing it. Without Jesus, we won't be able to do anything. So glory goes to God. Verse 13.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation.
Now here two things he's saying. These Pharisees teaching the Word of God, and he says, you try to find somebody to teach them about the kingdom of God, but actually you are not allowing that person to enter into the kingdom of God. 50 years ago or 60 years ago, people were not allowed to read the Bible. Why? Because they knew if they start reading the Bible, they will know the plan of salvation, and they would not come to priest to ask about forgiveness and ask about what we should do now when we made a mistake. So he said that's the way people still doing it because they think they know the kingdom of God and through them only we can go to heaven. There are some people saying even, if you die, you will go to purgatory and then we'll pray for you and then we can change you from purgatory to paradise. And so he says, these people are teaching something which is not in the word of God. And if somebody comes to learn something, sending them that person to hell. Another thing he says, now you might know this is happening in 21st century. As some widows, elderly people, when they have house, nobody's living with them. Nowadays we have nursing homes and things like that. In those days, only churches can take care of them. So nowadays, what the people are doing, telling people, sign up your house, sign up your property to church. And when they take everything, and they don't even take care of them. There was one lady, she had a lot of money. And I said, sister, do you go to church? She said, I go to church, but I don't trust church people. I said, sister, if you go into church, if you don't trust your church people, find some other church where you can trust somebody. And she found some man on the street, and he came and gave her the sandwiches, fish sandwich, this sandwich, whatever she liked. And she called me, said, Pastor Peter, I found somebody, a very good man. He loves me so much. He gives me fish and this and that and fresh food. I said, sister, this is just for the few days. He's going to destroy your life because he is not a Christian person. And finally we found out that person might have killed her or what, and she died within a few days. So the point I'm making, there are people, they don't have compassion, but they try to rip the people off, even though they are widows and things like that. Today also you will see, they will tell you annuity programs, if you have $100,000, give it to us, and we will give you the highest interest. But you have to be 90 years or 95 years, then we can give you 10%. Now just think, if you have a $500,000 and you give all the money to charity and they give you 10%, how much money are you going to use within a 10 years or 5 years? Most of the money will be there and little money will be coming to you and then nobody will take care of you. And so this is what these people were doing it. Take their houses, take their money, but don't help them. So the word of God is saying, these people who do that kind of thing, they will have great damnation. There are people trying to rip the people off today. Verse 15.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Can you imagine? He says, I don't know, this is 2,000 years ago. They didn't have advanced technology going to one end to the other end of sea. But he says, you trying to find somebody, going around the world, and find somebody, one person, make him a disciple, and finally you teach him something which is not biblical, and instead of taking him to heaven, you're putting him to hell.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.